announcing you to everyone in the community and welcoming you into it in just a minute. But first, I've got a couple Hike House names here from people who we want to make sure have returned. Are Peter and Carrie Nash here? No Peter and Carrie? Okay. And also, looks like Marnie Roberts. Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to read the names of the folks who arrived at Holden Village today, and if you would stand, please, when I do that and remain standing, and then we will all applaud at the end. From Davis, California, David and Susan Woods with Jennifer. From Billings, Montana, Kay Tostengard with Tim, Annika, Renee, and Ellie. Eli, oh yeah. Does that mean you get a free ice cream cone from Tom, I suppose? Well, talk to me after. Columbus, Ohio. Carol, is it Grossell? Correct? Rusty, okay. And Sarah Nykirk? Okay. Hillsboro, Oregon. James Wallen and Judy Wallen. From Dallas, Texas, Cynthia Knott and Craig Erickson. From Bellevue, Washington, Thomas Benson, Jean, Danny, and Grace. Did I pronounce that wrong? That's what they usually do. From Gig Harbor, Rebecca, is it Shiverin? Shervin. Okay, Rebecca, Shervin, Ray, Samuel, Madeline, and Benjamin. From Kennewick, Washington, Brian Wallen, Brianna Wallen, and Ty Wallen. From Chicago, Stephen Huff. And from Bellevue, Washington, Nicole Beard. And did I miss anyone else who came in today? No, well, welcome to Holden Village. A reminder that the forum tonight sounds very interesting. It's competition. It's good for you. No. It's good for you, but is it healthy? I think I got it right. That's at 8:45 in Koinonia. And now, would everyone who is leaving tomorrow please stand? Okay, let's pray together for these brothers and sisters as they prepare to leave. Blessed God, we thank you that you have made us rich with these people. Every time the door of the bus opens up, you bless us. And now we send them out to be blessings in their homes and communities. Fill them with the fire of your Spirit so that they may proclaim your name always. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
May the God of all grace, who meets us in our ups and our downs, our joys and our sorrows, our times of tension and of rest, be with you always. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for the goodness of this day. Thank you for the programming we have experienced, the hikes we have undertaken, the glorious scenery that has surrounded us. We pray especially for the complete recovery of Peter Carlson. Bring him safely back to us here at Holden. Now we ask you to be with us in this time of reflection and peace, that you might speak to our hearts and to our minds. Open us up to your presence. Amen. Leading us in our worship this evening is Mike Blair, campus pastor at Luther College in Decorah, Iowa. I will confess that 15 years ago, when he first came to Luther as a young Turk, I, who had already been a campus pastor at Wittenberg for 11 years, was green with envy. Here was a gifted young campus pastor who told stories and played the guitar. And he's only gotten better. It's my pleasure to welcome Mike as our Vesper leader this evening. Before Mike comes to the lectern, we're going to sing our summer theme song composed by our village musician, Paul Friesen Carper, and I'll let him introduce it.
It's printed on your pink sheet there, and I don't think you really need to know anything other than that. Oh, yeah, I'll invite you to stand. Some people like to sing this one standing. As Matt calls them, standy uppies. This is a standy uppie.
Eleven climbed the Galilean mountain, where Jesus preached of love and taught the way. The risen Jesus came and there they worshipped. Though some could not but doubt, they still heard Jesus say, to hear the call to love and justice due. Though we doubt the risen one still meets us, sends us down the mountain and goes out with us too.
That the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay, and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Dear friends, may God be with you. Well, there's the Holden summer theme in a nutshell. God is with us, and the beauty of the liturgy is that we proclaim this good news repeatedly, continually, when we gather. The word that I offer you tonight is this. We are called to voice our laments in the context of God's promise to be with us. But to open this a bit further, I'll offer a story. Once there was a tree, and she loved a little boy. Every day the boy would come, and he would gather her leaves and make them into crowns and play king of the forest, and he would climb her trunk and swing from her branches and eat apples, and when he was tired, he would sleep in her shade, and the boy loved the tree very much, and the tree was happy. Maybe you know this familiar story, The Giving Tree by Shel Silverstein. The tale continues with the boy growing older and taking the tree's apples for money, the tree's branches for lumber, the tree's trunk for a boat, and in each instance, the tree is described as happy, and in the end, the tree is reduced to a stump and is happy that she can provide a place for the boy to sit when he comes back as an old man. Now, back in the day, in the 70s, this story was a popular graduation and general rite of passage book. Many considered this book a beloved story that affirmed generosity. But I have to tell you, the longer I've known this story, and the more I've been educated by the faith stories of students and seekers, the more troubling this story has been for me. I think I gave this book to my sister once. What was I thinking? Sometimes our beloved stories carry messages and themes that we don't recognize or intend. There are issues here. Consumption, consumerism, issues of environmental recklessness, not to mention major gender issues at play. You don't need a PhD in gender studies to recognize that it's problematic to have a story where the male character takes and takes and takes, and the female character gives and gives and gives. And in the end, they're both depleted, and the female character is happy. Is this a good story to tell to our children? This is a familiar story, but is it a life-giving story? Stories and patterns of domination and exploitation are so pervasive and woven in our culture that we sometimes tell them and give them a blessing without even recognizing it. In the early 90s, my wife Sue directed a theater arts camp for the Lutheran Outdoor Ministry Center in Oregon. Well, in the other Oregon, in Oregon, Illinois. One summer camp featured a Care of Creation theme, and Sue and I pooled our creative energies and did a remake of The Giving Tree. We gave the tree a voice, and we studied Romans 8 to take the story in a new direction. And we met with the campers and talked about trying to make connections between creation moaning for redemption and environmental issues of the day. But when we addressed issues like poverty and global warming and deforestation and hunger, well, the campers got this glazed over, when do we get to go swimming look in their eyes. But when the subject switched to gender roles and stereotypes and expectations of girls and boys and life at middle school and high school, they started to make some connections. They recognized how stereotypical patterns for women and men diminish the tree and the old man in the story, and how these same patterns diminish them as well. An eighth grader named Barbara was the tree's voice, and she lit up when she thought of ways that boys were rewarded for being takers and how girls were expected to be givers. You could see light bulbs going on as she made connections, and she could see the lack of mutuality in this story and in her own world. She found energy and a connection to the biblical story, and she stood up and she spoke the tree's lament in her sassy voice. I'm supposed to be happy? What about my branches, my fruit, my trunk? Happy my stump, she said. Then she sang the tree's song with girl power, budding eco-feminist, I am woman, hear me roar, secret life of bees kind of energy. She said, I've been cut down, da-da-da-da, I've been treated bad. I used to have leaves and branches, but now the man took everything I had, you know. I'm tired of deforestation and ozone depletion and global warming. Lord have mercy, I paid my dues. I've got those all creation moaning for redemption blues. Well, that's when we knew we had a show to take on the road. And we hit the big time. We toured Northern Illinois for a 3-day weekend. Free lodging, homestays, unlimited potlucks. Wow. The path of the gospel story, the path of a God who promises to be with us always, also involves the story of a tree. As followers of Jesus, we have a narrative. We have a story that narrative therapists would call a counter story. A story that is liberating, a story that helps us discover our best self, our true identity as children of God. A story that helps us discover we are male and female created as equals in God's image. And part of our counter story is the biblical image of a tree also with a feminine identity. In the book of Proverbs, wisdom is called a tree of life. And the author writes of wisdom, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Wisdom is a tree of life to all who lay hold of her. As followers of Jesus, we have a tree story that runs much deeper than the giving tree. We have the story of the tree of life, the cross of Christ, a tree of healing for the nations, a tree that creates community where all people are lifted up. And one of the gifts in Paul's letter to the Romans as a theology of integration that is also symbolized by this tree. A theology of integration where heaven and earth are joined, flesh and spirit, lament and hope. And this is a theology that makes the outrageous claim that all creation will be redeemed, that even our bodies will be redeemed. That's a promise that gets harder to grasp as one gets older. The path to integration is marked with struggles and laments that need to be voiced. A remake of the giving tree, along with the scripture from Romans, help us remember that we are called to give voice to our laments in the context of God's promise, especially as a community of faith. If all creation groans for redemption, this is a song we need to learn to hear and to sing. And when I speak of laments, I'm not talking about complaints or whining. Those are marks of consumer culture where we get accustomed to the idea that we can purchase privilege and entitlement and complain loudly when it's not delivered. Laments are songs of struggle and loss, songs that name the absence of God in our experience. And in the Psalms, the experience of God's absence is voiced with great boldness and imagination, even while the psalmist clings to the promise of God's faithfulness. And growing in the fullness of God's promise calls us also to voice our laments, to hear the cries of creation, the cries of the hungry, of those orphaned by AIDS, of those ravaged by war, those who suffer sexual assault and violence, those wounded by racism or homophobia or sexism. We have much to lament in our world. Christ have mercy. But the good news is the faithful voicing of our lamentations leads us to healing paths. Some will find paths of repentance and reconciliation. Others will find paths of empowerment and voice and restoration. We are called to voice our laments in the context of God's promise to be with us always. This helps us discover God at work in our midst and helps us hold fast to the tree of life when our way is hard. Even Jesus, who knew himself as God's beloved, called out from the cross, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" But we know the story didn't end there. Jesus discovered that God's faithfulness was greater than even his deepest lament. Faithful lament points us to the counter story of the gospel, the good news of God's shalom for us and all creation. Now, there's much more that could be said about a theology of laments, but perhaps it's better to practice a communal lament rather than to keep talking about it. Now, one of my avocations or side interests is the calling to bridge the long-neglected gap between Lutheranism and the blues. I know some of you are worried about that, so I've been tending to that, and in that spirit, I invite you to join in singing a song born of our Giving Tree remake. The song is titled The All Creation Moaning for Redemption Blues. And your part is simple. When I sing, I've got those. You'll sing together the title. All creation moaning for redemption blues. So let's try that. I'll say, I've got those. All creation moaning for redemption blues. And yeah, you just sing that out, you know, with your best blues voice. And if there's kind of silent places in the song, you can add some words, you know, whatever, you know, just guttural sounds. It's just kind of part of the blues. It's not really something you sing. It just kind of emotes from you. So we're going to sing the All Creation Moaning for Redemption blues as our closing hymn.
Our Holden Village Ad Hoc Blues Band, Verlon Brown on harmonica, and Paul playing bass, and thanks as well to Sue, who added in the helped offer prelude music as well earlier. So, all creation moaning for redemption. I'll go. I've got those. All creation moaning for redemption blues. Read the morning paper, left me dazed and confused. Tell me, how long will God's creation continue to be abused? I said, now, Lord, have mercy. So much discouraging news. I've got those all creation moaning for redemption blues. Times of grief and sadness leave me in a state of unction. Sometimes it feels like my spirit is in a time of deconstruction. I said, now, Jesus, Rabbi, help me. I know you've been there. I said, hear my prayer, have mercy. You gotta help me, Lord, get a clue, because I don't have one and I'm lost. I'm wondering, I got a lot of questions and no many answers. Help me out. I said, I've got those all creation moaning for redemption blues. Mountains grudge and tremble, nations rage and roar. I look to God above and I pray. I said, war, huh, good God, y'all, what is it good for? I don't know absolutely nothing. Jesus, Prince of Peace, come on, help us out. The world is in such a trouble, we got such a short fuse. Wars erupting everywhere. I've got those all creation moaning for redemption blues. Here's a moaning for redemption. We need a voice in the wilderness to guide our feet in the way of peace. I said, now, come on, will we hear the gospel call to justice? Will we listen to the gospel's radical views? I've got those all creation mourning for redemption. Now listen up, listen here. I said, with God's promise will do us, will always will not be forsaken. I said, we promise that the day will there be no more weeping, no more wailing, no more mines, no more tailings. Come on, earth will be restored. If we find ourselves in a state of disintegration, we know that nothing can separate us from God, not height, nor depth, or anything else in all creation. Say amen to that. Yes. I said, sweet Jesus, show us the way. Help us live out our imago day. Help us stand up and fight. Take back the night. Commit ourselves to reconciliation, reparation, and a whole lot of deep down rejuvenation together as God's children. We're going to be shaken, breaking, and overtaking those all creation moaning for redemption. And let God's people say amen. Say amen. All right.
Let us pray. If Mike keeps getting better, what's he going to be like in 20 years? Thank you, God, that we can express all of our feelings in your presence. Thoughts of joy, profound experiences of pain and suffering, prayers of thankfulness, and deep expressions of lament. You are with us through them all. Thank you that you enfold us so completely. Amen. May God go with you and carry you on sturdy wings. Go in God's peace.